This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mr. Guerin joins us, like all of our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We appreciate Billy here. If you have a question or comment for Billy, you can send me a text right now, 651-461-9226. Before we jump into your team and a number of questions I have for you, the last couple segments, I was talking about World Happiness Day. It's World Happiness Day. Unfortunately for us, Billy, our country's 24th out of all the nations on the planet. So apparently, collectively, we're not happy in this country. But there are great moments of joy. And a lot of people chimed in through a text or phone call on the greatest moment of joy in their life. You've had plenty personally, professionally. If I asked you to name one, that one moment of joy that still stays with you now and is just remarkably memorable for you, outside of coming on this show, which is probably one, so let's go to two. What do you have for me?
Like, are you talking about joy in the country or just joy in my life? Like
in your life, in Bill Guerin's life.
I mean, that would be the birth of my children, I think.
Like, yep.
You know, that I think most people would probably say that. You know, the day I met my wife, things like that really make your life what it is. You know, you can go and talk about personal accomplishments or this or that, but in my mind, your family, your friends, the human beings in your life are really what make your life. And, you know, those are a couple of big days.
Those are a couple of big days. How did you meet your wife?
Well, it actually is a very funny story. We have a friend named Marty Robinson. He's a really good friend, been a friend for a long time. He owned a great bar in Verona, New Jersey, called the Verona Inn. And my wife was going to college, and she was bartending there one night a week. And I was a patron, but I had never met her. And I had been going there for a long time. And my buddy Marty says, "Hey, listen, you got to meet this girl." And I'm like, I don't really want to get involved with, you know, I don't need a girlfriend right now or this or that or whatever. But then he pointed her out to me at a different bar, and I said, "Okay, I'll meet her." and that was it. And, you know, years down the road, our friend Marty, his wife Cindy, and their four kids, they live 10 minutes from us here in Minnesota now in Plymouth.
Really?
Yeah, which is kind of
crazy.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, it's wild.
That is crazy. That is.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. 651-461-9226 for our audience. Billy Guerin just said this is a great bar. What makes a great bar? What makes it? For me, I was just telling somebody about a place in town Some places just have that vibe of fun, of energy. And I don't know. And obviously places with restaurants and bars all are trying to do it. But some places pull that off. And it's enjoyable to be there. When you think of a bar, and let's just go bar here, because restaurant so much is the food. But what makes a good vibe for Bill Guerin at a bar?
You know what? I think there's things like, you know, like ambiance and decor and things like that. But when it gets down to it, it's really the ownership of the bar, the atmosphere that they create and the servers, things like that. I always think it goes back to the people, you know.
Yep.
And
sure.
And your clientele is there a lot of BS going on there, or is there none? And it's a good feeling. There's a great jukebox, you know, or whoever's playing the music's playing, like, you know, the good stuff for everybody. Like, it's just,
mm-hmm.
Yep. But it goes back to the people. And I think the people, you look at Tom Reed's. Tom's one of the great bar owners of the NHL, I'll say. Like, he's always there. He's always in a good mood. He's always talking to his customers. He just puts in so much time and effort to make sure that it's a good place. Those are the places that you want to be.
That's a really good point. If you go to a place and you go with some regularity, and the owner or, let's say, the general manager is there, and she or he is just fun to talk to and knows what they're doing and, you know, goes above and beyond what you would expect, that helps, right?
Oh,
when we're all going
huge.
Through all the crap we're going through our life, when you see somebody who's trying to make your night just a little bit more fun, it raises it.
Yeah. There's nothing better than a good bar.
No.
There really
I agree.
Is.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
And I love
when,
I don't when know it's... if you are I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah. That's a lot.
So you go in, you know, with your wife or your buddy or whatever. Do you want a table or do you want to eat at the bar?
It's so funny. I literally was just going to ask you the same question. I am a bar person. 95% of the time, pending the numbers. Okay, if it's, I think you can do four at the bar. I really do. Some think it's just two. I think you can do four. If it's over that, then I'm a table. But I love sitting there and getting the extra dialogue. Let's say it's the four of us would go somewhere. I think we can pull off a bar. Now, you need to have people who are all reasonably outspoken. Because if you have, let's say, if it's four of you and you're trying the four at the bar and three of you are talkers, like you're a talker, I'm a talker, and one is not a talker, then he or she is going to feel left out. What do you think about that?
I'd agree with that. And it always helps if you have the corner.
Yeah, you're right.
If you get the corner, that, I mean, that's like, that is some prime real estate.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the corner, you stay all night.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And you might say, hey, can I get this when I come back? How do I do that? A couple texts here on this, and we'll pause. We'll talk about the Wild. Music that is not too loud for talking and a great beer selection. Friendly staff and friendly patrons. A bar that has clean bathrooms. And a great bar has great regulars. If you somehow go there, and let's say you're not a regular, Billy, and somehow you can interact with a regular, I think that really works. Well, I sent you a text last night. I'm at a place last night, and I'm going to have a glass of wine, and I'm picking up food. And all of a sudden, this guy and I start talking, and it turns out you know this guy better than me. And we sat there and talked for like an hour out of nowhere and just had a great conversation.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I was about 45 minutes late, But yeah,
he's got a lot to say. He's been around the game a long time. He's had major league experience. So what a person to run into.
Yeah. We were needling each other about the food, and then also we started talking and realized we knew a bunch of people. And I mean, I have so much dirt on you now. It's unbelievable. I mean, you might want to just give me the house or else I'm going public with this. All right. Let's talk about the team. It's been a grind of late, but they've won their last couple games. So are the Wild turning the corner? The man in charge of the Wild, Bill Guerin, is back with us in moments. We continue our conversation with Wild President of Hockey Operations and General Manager Bill Guerin. You know this much better than me. This has been a season divided in a couple ways. Great start for a long time in the first couple months. You had more points and more wins than anybody in the entire league. And then the injury started popping up, not just to your typical players, to your elite players. And they're out, and then your other players are not playing as well. And for the last couple of months, it has been a struggle. You're in the middle of a long homestand. You've won back-to-back games, 3-1 over the Kings, beat the Kraken last night 4-0. It takes a series of games to really get a good feel for your team. But how convinced are you that you may have turned a corner off the last couple games?
Well, I mean, it sure is reassuring. I mean, you know, the Kings are a very good team. You know, we've been playing some stingy hockey, which is good. You know, the Kraken are a team that we beat last time in Seattle, but they gave us a hard time. Like they played us well, and they played us well again last night after the rough start they had. So I'm encouraged by it. But this is no time to, like, kind of take a deep breath and relax. We have to stay on task. We've got to stay sharp. And, you know, I believe we have 13 games left. We've got to continue playing this way all the way in. And, you know, it was nice to see some of our, you know, players like Boldy, you know, have a big night. And, it's encouraging.
Let's talk about Matt Boldy. This is somebody you believe in. This is someone who's had stretches this year when he scored at a high rate, but he's also had, I think, three different stretches, maybe either of 9, 10 games in a row where he has not scored. He was very good playing for USA Hockey. I'm not saying his entire game is dictated by scoring, because in watching some of your games lately, he has been noticeable, but for him to truly be himself and with Kirill out to be kind of your bell cow of scoring, what needs to even if it's slight changes in his game so he doesn't have these type of stretches with any sort of regular occasion?
Yeah, you know what? I actually really like parts of his game. I know he hasn't scored, and you know what? Players go through that, and you know, it's frustrating for everyone to see that, but it's most frustrating for him. But what I do like is that he's had opportunities. He's not playing on the perimeter. He's cutting to the middle of the ice. He's getting his shots. He's producing some scoring chances. It just hasn't really been going in for him. So I've liked the way that he's kind of handled it, and he just continues to play hard. Maybe he could spend a little more time in front of the net, but, you know, overall, I think it's just a matter of, you know, regaining your scoring touch or your confidence in that way. But I don't think his game has reflected in the way that he's produced, if that makes any sense.
During this stretch, when the wins have been coming, have you addressed the team in any different way than how you normally interact with individual players and when you're around them?
I have not. I have not addressed them as a group. You know, I feel, you know, and John and I talk quite often, and we talk about these things. Is it time for this? Is it time for that? Do I need to get involved? Does somebody else need to get involved? Like, what's the messaging here to the guys? So we really, you know, think about those things and the timing of it. You know, what message are they looking for? You know, I was just away for a while watching on TV. It's very different, a very different feeling than, you know, than John gets from behind the bench or the other guys get from up top. So we just want to make sure that it's, you know, hey, we lose one or two games and, you know, you come storming down and everybody's uptight about it. You just want to make sure you do things at the right time. And so I have not done that. I haven't felt.
Okay. So let me pick up on that. Listen, in the end, you're the boss. Have there been times when you felt like, yeah, it's time for me to speak, and you and John has said, nope, trust me, we're okay, and you end up deferring to what he wants you to do? Or do you say, hey, I get it, John, but I still have the final say here?
No, that has happened, and recently. And, you know, that's why I really love working for John. I trust him. He trusts me. We talk about it. There have been other times where I've said, hey, look, what do you think of this? And he's like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. But we kind of, you know, we talk about it. We don't care whose idea it is or who's delivering the message or whatever. It's just got to be the right thing. And you know, I'll listen to him and he listens to me.
I know you've had conversation with Ryan Hartman many times, and you certainly talked to him extensively after the last suspension. He's been back now for a few games. What is your view on how he's played?
He's played really well. I think he's got like 6 points or something since he's been back, or 7 points. But I like the way he's played. Like, it's not just the points. It's his overall game that's been good. I've been really happy with the way Ryan's played.
This is Bill Guerin. We're talking about the Wild here on WCCO. You've been riding Gus of late, and he's been playing well. Is it just the way he's playing, or is anything going on with Marc-Andre Fleury?
Oh, it's just the way he's playing. I mean, he's played well. Yep. He's, you know, Flowers fine. He's doing great. This is the way it is right now.
Your next play Saturday, home against Buffalo. Should we assume off the shutout last night that Gus is going to play again?
I would assume that, but, I mean, I don't know right now.
Yep. Okay. The injuries. Everybody wants to know. As you mentioned it, 13 games left. Brodin has been skating. The other two elite players for you and Kirill and Joel Eriksson Ek have not. Are we getting close with Brodin? And are you confident that the other two players will play in the regular season?
We're getting close with Brodin. I guess I'm pretty confident. Yeah. I'm confident, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen or it's not going to happen.
The last time we chatted, you felt like Kirill was ahead of Joel. Is it still that way, or are they fairly close?
Joel was ahead of Kirill.
Oh, really? Okay. You know, you're 100% right. My mistake. 100% right. Is it still that way?
I think so.
How about this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Are you convinced they're both going to play at some point in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So if somebody's saying right now, I don't even think they're going to play, you're going to say, no, I think when the playoffs are here, unless something out of the ordinary takes place, they're going to be ready.
I mean, that's what I think, but I've been wrong before. So who knows?
Yeah, but you also know a fair amount.
Yep, I do.
You've turned from very expansive, Billy, to kind of tight, short in your answers, Bill.
Well, because here's what happens. Other people listen to your show, And then I run into them tomorrow, and they're like, you said this, you said this. Can you expand on it? And I'm like, yep. I'm just doing the interview. I'm not writing. I don't have the hammer and chisel writing stuff in stone. I'm telling you what I think, and then, but I can't promise anything. I can't give you dates. I can't tell you when this is going to happen. Because, you know what, injuries are tricky. And, you know what, once you have a good day, you know, you might come back the next morning and you have three crappy days. So mm-hmm. I really try to manage some, you know, people's expectations and you know, I'm not trying to keep anything from anybody, but it's just, there's no reason to get out there and say, this is going to happen, or this is what I really think. And because I really don't know.
Yep. How have these, all three of them, how have they held up? Listen, injuries are part of it. Everyone has faced it. You face it as a player. But when you have three players of this caliber, and when they're seeing the team playing the way they were, and let's acknowledge again, you won the last two games, but how is their dialogue, how is their disposition been during this time?
I mean, their disposition, it's good, but it's painful to not be out on the ice. It's easier when the team's winning. It's worse when they're losing. You know, you want to be out there. You want to help.
For sure. I saw a clip from you yesterday. You were at the general manager's meeting, and this even goes back to me paying attention to Louis when he was running it. Is there ever a general manager's meeting in a place where it's not 85 degrees?
No.
Yeah.
And there never will be.
I mean, what's wrong with Kalamazoo, Michigan for a general manager's meeting? I mean, come on.
Why would you? Would you go there for your meetings?
Hell no. No. Hell.
Why would
I'm
we?
Talking to you from Palm Desert, California. So what does that tell you?
I know you are, because you're no dummy.
Yeah. Well.
And you know what? Everybody, if you don't do it like that, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. What was the main takeaway from the meetings? Is this one of those meetings where it's just typical? Was this rule changes? What took place?
Yeah, it was typical, just with rule changes and clarification on things. And, you know, I will be honest, there was not a lot of heavy lifting at this one. It just, you know, it kind of goes, you know, meeting to meeting. Like, in this one just, you know, we reviewed a bunch of things, but it just, you know, wasn't that deep.
Are you getting attacked? Your dog is barking in the background there.
No, he saw a squirrel, so obviously he's protecting me. It's a vicious squirrel.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this could be our last conversation then, if that squirrel gets inside.
Might be the last one for the squirrel. He's protecting me.
Yes, exactly. That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
On, buddy. Talk soon.
Bill Guerin right here on CCL. So I'm on the Twitter machine, and I'm paying attention to our guy Tom Hauser and two others. And Tom, more than an hour ago, tweets out this, comments from State Senator Aaron Makewait, Democrat, who we've interviewed on this show before and is visible and is outspoken and not shy, giving her opinion. And here's what Aaron Makewait had to say about Justin Eichhorn. Just a reminder, he has been the biggest story in this state the last couple days. Awful, vile decision by him to seek out to have sex with an underage individual, 17 years old, and affirming that she was 17, and then doesn't even know the law of consent. I thought he was just a buffoon and a butt kisser over the weekend when he signed on with Grunhagen and other Republicans just to butt kiss with Trump, and also to belittle mental illness when he tried to have Trump derangement syndrome classified as a true mental illness. Give me a break. I mean, the whole Trump derangement syndrome is such a duck as opposed to actually debating the issue. And if you talk about the guy, unless you praise him, apparently it's Trump derangement syndrome. So that, okay, that was, maybe I've had a chance to see Justin Eichhorn's name before, but that was my first larger exposure to him. But then that pales in comparison to when we learned that this married man with children who was seeking out an underage female for unprotected sex, gross, awful, illegal, and state charges, federal charges, about to be expelled and steps away from the state Senate today. So a lot of people have spoken out on it. And by the way, credit to the Republicans who acted decisively and said he has to go. So Aaron McQuaid, the Democratic senator, said this outside the Senate chambers. I'll read right from our guy Hauser. Mr. Eichhorn was not an anomaly. He is a symptom. The Republican Party has created a permission structure for Republican leaders to act with sexual predation and be rewarded. It is time for our Republican colleagues to look in the mirror, do some very real work to dismantle the permission structure that gives Republicans the feeling they can go about doing this vile behavior to prey on a child. Hauser then adds, she then went on to say it starts with the Trump administration nominating people like Pete Hegseth for cabinet positions. When asked for a reaction, a Senate GOP spokesperson said, won't dignify those marks by responding, and adds, he'll have more of the audio and video later on Channel 5. Come on. Honestly, if we want to talk about individuals and we want to talk about the allegations against Pete Hegseth, guess what I did on this show? And guess what? I think the bar has to be very high to be a cabinet member, in particular, something as prestigious as the Secretary of Defense. I personally don't think on character matters and on previous experience that Pete Hegseth was qualified for that job. I made that point repeatedly. I think if there would have been an anonymous vote, I think at least half the Republicans would have agreed with me and they would not have voted for Donald Trump. Guess what? Donald Trump has faced mid-20s sexual assault allegations. He was found guilty in court last year. So, yeah, there are Republicans who have been found guilty of awful behavior tied to sexual attacks and assault and verbiage. Hot take. There have been Democrats also. Do I think the Republican Party has looked aside and ducked repeatedly when it has been valid questions about Donald Trump? Hell yeah, I do. But to say the entire party has created a permission structure for Republican leaders to act in this sort of sexual attacking way and be rewarded? No, I do not agree in any way. She also adds another part of this. I'll repeat it. It's time for Republican colleagues to look in the mirror, do some very real work to dismantle the permission structure that gives Republicans the feeling they can go about doing this vile behavior to prey on children. Donald Trump was preying on adult women in an awful way. Pete Hegseth and other women. We're saying, Aaron McQuaid is saying, that the Republican structure across the country is set up where Republicans can feel like they will be rewarded and they'll be okay and no one will stand up to them if they look for sex with 12, 13, 14, and 17-year-olds? Come on. Give me a break. I am more than willing to praise or criticize both sides of the aisle. We do way too much generalizing in this country about politics, about race, about religion, about families, you name it. It's lazy. This is insulting. Go after Justin Eichhorn. He has no defense. None. Zero. But just to say the overall apparatus of the Republican Party, where they can go about this type of behavior and prey on children, and the party allows it? Come on. You can be as liberal as you want. You're allowed to feel that way. But this is broad-based insulting. Go ahead, individuals. Cite Donald Trump. You want to cite Pete Hegseth. You want to cite others, you can. But the entire party? Is this also towards individuals who vote for Republicans? Are we headed that way also? I couldn't disagree more. What do you want to say on this? Maybe you agree with Aaron Makeweight. Maybe you massively disagree with Aaron Makeweight. Tell me your thoughts. Text me or call me right now. 651-461-92. Just a reminder for the audience just tuning in. Thanks for coming on board. We're talking about State Senator Democrat Aaron Makeweight reacting to the indefensible actions of Justin Eichhorn soliciting sex with a minor. All criticisms that so far I've witnessed towards him has been justified. Republicans quickly called for his ouster, his resignation. They were prepared to expel him today. But after he was able to extract himself from prison for now, he resigned. He's facing state and federal charges. Aaron Makeweight said this: Mr. Eichhorn was not an anomaly. He's a symptom. The Republican Party has created a permission structure for Republican leaders to act with sexual predation and to be rewarded. It's time for Republican colleagues to look in the mirror, do some very real work to dismantle the permission structure that gives Republicans the feeling they can go about doing this vile behavior to prey on a child. There are individuals within the Republican Party who have committed disgusting acts. Matt Gaetz and the allegations, did I believe them? Yes, I did. Did I think in any way he was qualified to be the Attorney General? Hell no. Do I think this party is afraid of Donald Trump and speaking out against anyone that Donald Trump supports? The evidence is overwhelming. But to suggest that the entire party sets this up, I guess one of the comebacks would be if the entire party sets this, sets it up and allows it and doesn't stand in and try to stop it. Why did the Republican Party quickly call for Justin Eichhorn's ouster? They would have looked the other way. They have before, but in this case, it was quick and it was decisive. Among your texts, Republicans are not all sexual predators, but the party does seem to excuse a lot of bad behavior more often. Parenthetically, they mention Hegseth, Kavanaugh, Trump, and rallies around their demonizing of drag queens and transgender people. That would be Nancy Mace, as the person includes. People who are fellow Americans and are not breaking the laws. Nancy Mace is one of the greatest frauds in politics today. She was a center-right Republican, first few years, wasn't afraid to call out the extremist parts of her party, but then saw the energy that Trump brings. If she wants to speak out on the sports debate with transgender individuals, that's fine. But she is demeaning constantly towards transgender individuals. She'll yell, she'll scream. She'll then mention the awful thing that happened to her, which is awful that she was raped, as if no one can have a conversation with her. That is a horrifying thing to happen in her life. Can't imagine what that is like in, what that is like in living with it. And I hope no one has to face that. But then if someone tries to have any sort of conversation with her in this way, she shouts at them. So there are examples. Absolutely. More text. I don't agree either, but Trump is emboldened racist. Why do we have so much hatred towards the LGBT community? Trump has given a voice to racists everywhere. Trump played to racism. We're going to 5835, by the way, Josh. Thank you. No doubt when he went with where's Barack Obama's birth certificate and Barack Hussein Obama and knew he had a birth certificate and only was doing it because he's a black man. And the LGBTQ hatred has jumped. And in contrast to Donald Trump, to when he was in New York and when he didn't care about those social issues, or when he cared, he was just much, much more respectful. And so individually, I'm all for calling out individuals. But to say an entire party has a structure that way, no. And she knows it. And she's playing to her base, just like another guy was playing to his base.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Walz with his comments. We'll talk about those when we come back.